8:24 now. Good morning. Well, in spite of the unsettled weather forecast for this week, summer officially begins at Utah Olympic Park today. On the phone with an update, I have Cole Nordman, marketing manager for the Utah Olympic Park. Good morning, Cole.
Hey, good morning.
So what's open?
Basically everything besides the zip line tour and alpine slide. Those will be coming online here in just a little bit, but for this first day with the unsettled weather, like you mentioned a little bit earlier and everything, we're just going to open up with everything else, but it's going to be a good week for us, I think.
Okay, so you officially on the summer hours and days?
Yeah, we'll go every single day this week, and that's from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Our museums are open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. every single day like they usually are, 365. But our activities will be open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. now through the end of summer, basically.
Okay. So have you got anything new this year?
No, we just are making some improvements to the alpine slide, which is really great. We're putting a shade structure along the entirety of that project. The reason that's taking a little bit longer and it's not going to open up right away is just because of all the snow we've gotten this year, as everybody up in Park City well knows. Just took a while for it to all melt away and get us some room in there so we could start working on it. We made some improvements to the zipline tour that'll be coming online here in a couple weeks. So nothing really new, but what's really great is we'll have our full array of activities available here this summer, which is really, really neat to see.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in just a second. But what's the shade shelter for on the alpine slide? Is it to protect it from snow or weather, or is it just...
It does a little bit of that in the wintertime, but although we don't run it in the wintertime, but mainly it's the user experience. So we just want the overall experience. It's kind of exposed on that hill. So when you're riding, it can get really hot during the day when you're just on the sled and you're exposed to all of that on that east side of the mountain there. So we're just making it a better user experience by shading the whole thing. It'll make the ride that much cooler and that much nicer. You'll still be able to see through it. You'll still be able to see the Snyderville Basin. We're just trying to make it just a little bit better experience for you.
Okay.
That's what we try to do with all of our activities. So.
All right. Well, let's talk about the rest of the activities besides the alpine slide and zipline, which aren't open yet, but everything else is. What have you got?
Everything else is, yeah, we'll have extreme tubing running today, which is personally my favorite. Extreme zipline, freestyle zipline will be going. All of our ropes courses are open. The drop tower is ready to go. Our airbag jumps will be ready to go. So literally 11 out of the 13 activities that we have will be a go for today, and we'll add those other two very, very soon.
Tell me, what is the airbag?
So we have three platforms, and they're called our airbag jumps. So there's 5, 10, and 15-foot platforms, and you literally jump off the edge into a giant airbag. It's almost like being a stunt person in the movies where you see him jump out of a window into a big pillowy airbag.
Okay.
That's exactly what we have at the park. It's a really fun activity. The little ones literally lap that activity all that day, all day long.
And then what's the drop tower?
So the drop tower is another one of my favorites. It's a 65-foot tower that you have to take a 300-foot zip line over to. So you zip line over, you land, they take you off of there, and they hook you to a belay system. And then you have to walk off the edge. There's no way other down, no stairs, no ladder, no anything. You have to jump off the edge of our drop tower. So you're not going to free fall 65 feet. You're just going to be belayed down really, really slow on our system. Or with the other option that we have, you can do what we call our quick jump, which allows you to free fall 25 feet. Then it catches you and belays you down. So it's a really harrowing experience the first time you do it, but after you do it that first time, you want to keep doing it.
Okay. Bobsled ready to be open, too, for the experience rides?
Absolutely. Our summer bobsled experience will be going today 1 to 5. Every day after that, same thing, every day 1 to 5. We've got brand new bobsleds this year, totally redesigned from years past. It's such a smooth ride now that you can actually kind of look around and see your surroundings while you're in the sled. So I highly recommend, if anyone hasn't done the bobsled or has done one of our old rides in a sled like we had a couple years back, to come back and try it again, because our new sleds are really, really fun.
Okay. And then so what, the morning hours are used to reserve for training?
In the pool, yeah. So athletes should start training this week sometime.
No, I mean on the bobsled and loose track. So, I mean, because you're only open in the afternoon. So what do you, the morning?
Yes. We just take that time in the morning to make sure the track is all good to go. We start rebuilding some projects in the summertime. We're only open for that 1 to 5 session because that's just how it kind of works with our staffing. So that's the best way that we can offer rides for that 5-hour period.
Okay.
So it takes some time to prep in the morning, and then we want to do some stuff in the afternoon. We don't do any training on the bobsled track in the summertime. We are rebuilding the push track, which will be really, really neat. So athletes will have a chance to practice their push starts in the summertime on a wholly redesigned track, which should be done hopefully this summer as well.
Okay. So in terms of ticketing, you've got, what, single rides or kind of adventure passes still offered?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Our Gold Pass will still be available this year. That gets you unlimited day access to all of the activities with the exclusion of summer bobsled experience and guided tours. But you can't come in and do things a la carte, so to speak. You can come in and do any activity that you want. Just choose it, pick it off the board, and our guest services staff will help get you to that attraction. But the best way to experience the park really is the Gold Day Pass. Come on in. It's $70 right now for adults, $45 for youth 12 and under. And that literally is the best way to see the park because that gets you access to everything for that day.
So that'll go up when you get the zip line and alpine slide open?
It's not technically going to go up with those, which is really awesome. So that is one new thing that we'll add to the Gold Pass this year. The zip line tour will be part of the Gold Pass. It's not going to drive the price up at all. The only time our prices change are when we go to our peak season, which starts on June 17th. That ends earlier in the fall, though, so we'll go back to the $70 and $45 pricing again later in the season. But the zipline tour and the addition of the alpine slide coming up in a couple weeks won't change the price at all, which is really neat.
Okay. So now's the time to go, though, right, before the crowds.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right now is probably the best time to come up. The weather, it's a little cool, so if you're exerting yourself and getting a little hot on our ropes courses and stuff, it's going to be nice and cool up here this week. So come on out and check us out.
Okay, and then when do the Flying Ace All-Star Freestyle shows start?
Yes, so our first show will be on June 22nd. We run that first Flying Aces show in conjunction with Olympic Day. So we're doing a big Olympic Day of celebration up at Utah Olympic Park again. That's the international day to celebrate the all things Olympics. There are celebrations that happen all over the world on that day. So we would want you to come out for that as well. We'll have face painters, bounce houses. We'll have our curling demonstration. We'll do our laser biathlon demonstration. The NAC is going to bring out some of their adaptive activities like they do every year for us at Olympic Day. So that's going to be a really, really fun day. And that'll be kind of the second official opening of summer, because once we start those pool shows, then it really feels like summer.
Okay. You're hosting the Red Bull 400 coming up like early. Usually you've done it in September. Now you're moving it to June.
Yeah, we moved it up the schedule a little bit. The folks at Red Bull were kind of wondering if we would ever be able to push it up the schedule, and we tried for a few years, and we finally were able to do that this year. So on June 1st, coming up here in just a week. So there's plenty of time to still go on and check things out for that event. Once again, it's one of my favorite events. It's just a harrowing experience for those people, because if you win the thing, if you want to win the whole thing, you have to run up those jumps twice, which is just absolutely crazy to me.
So you lay out some cargo rope. Is that on the jumps now at this point?
Yeah, so we have the cargo netting that goes up the in run and the out run. So everything is pretty well set to go. Due to liability issues, we can't have any folks out there training on the stairs or anything like we use for running with Ed and stuff. So that's one message I like to share with everybody. We just can't allow training, although we'd like to. It's just not in the cards for this year. So please don't go out on the jumps and train for the Red Bull 400. I know it's hard because there's no other way to do it except for running up a mountain. But yeah, it's a super fun event. We can't wait to have it a little earlier this year because I think the athletes are going to really like that.
Okay. And then what happened to the Seco block? That has been canceled for this year?
I wouldn't say canceled. No, it was just kind of pushing. We couldn't figure out a date that worked for both parties. It was an event that Utah Olympic Park, while we play host, we don't actually own it. So just the two parties couldn't come together on a perfect date for everything to work out. So we will bring that event back eventually. It was just not in the cards for this summer.
Okay, because we did build a climbing wall at the pool, I think, just for that event, didn't we?
Yeah, so we would put up the Seco Block wall and have it so the public could climb as part of the Gold Pass. We would have had that up probably right about this time of year and through the end of the year. But like I said, with the schedules of both parties and looking at our pool schedule and everything that we have going on through the summer with Olympic Day and Anti-Gala and all these other events that we end up doing, we just couldn't find that perfect afternoon there. So it's an event that we all love, though, and we know we'll come back to the park for sure.
Okay, Cole, anything else you wanted to mention?
No, that's it. It's opening day. It's a nice day here. I'm actually driving up Parley's right now, so I can't wait to get there and see everybody. And like you said, now's the time to come and experience it before it gets super busy.
Okay, Cole Nordman again, marketing manager for the Utah Olympic Park. Thanks for your time this morning.
No, thank you. Have a great
day. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, the National Ability Center in its final stretch of fundraising for its capital campaign. In the studio to tell us how you can contribute, I have Carrie Cusimano, the development director for the NAC. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So this is the first public push for the final leg?
Yes. I mean, we announced the campaign some time ago, but this really is the final phase of the campaign. And our goal is to involve the community. We're in the midst of, a piece of that is building what's called the Discovery Loop. And it is a packed trail that goes around the circumference of the National Ability Center campus. And not only will our participants get to use that, but also the community. So we're asking for the community support. And it's not about how much they give. It's just about, you know, supporting it, because hopefully they'll be able to use it as well. And we're hoping to get 1,500 members of the community, our friends, our volunteers, all residents and, you know, friends of the greater Park City, Salt Lake community to come out and support the campaign, help us close the gap.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about this trail. It's a dirt trail that'll be used for what?
It's a packed trail it's going to be used for training. So if someone's learning to ride a bike for the first time post-injury, or, you know, a veteran group is out doing a camp with the NAC, instead of riding through our parking lots, which is currently what a lot of the participants do, it's a safer trail that backs up to Round Valley. And, you know, they could just do that trail, or they can continue on to the broader trail system throughout Round Valley.
Okay. Is it used for horses as well?
Or is it can be used. Yeah. It's a multi-purpose trail.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in terms of the capital campaign, how much was it that you were, your goal eventually?
Our original goal was $15 million, and we're pretty close to that. The reality is inflation has taken place over the last 4 years, and our costs have gone up a little bit in terms of what we're trying to raise. It's you know, right now closer to $15.5 million. So we've got a little gap there that we're trying to close, which is why we've launched into this final phase of the campaign.
Okay. So this money then will basically just kind of pay for that inflation, huh?
Yes, that's a piece of it.
Yeah. Okay, so how do people help then?
You can go to our website, discovernac.org. There's actually a campaign page, which is icann.discovernac.org, and you'll see a picture of that discovery loop on there and levels of giving. You know, $25 builds a foot of the trail, and, you know, let's see, it's too early and I need some more coffee. I think we said, you know, $500 helps us build a bench that's going to, you know, be on the campus and such, but various levels of support, and would love just as many community members as possible to come out.
Okay. Let's see. Also coming up, you've got the barn party, something you host every year. This is, again, another fundraiser. Is this to go towards that goal?
Well, the Barn Party supports our equestrian programs, and it's a great kickoff event to the summer. And it's June 1st this year. It starts at 5:30 p.m., and it's a fun family event. We've got, you know, line dancing, a mechanical bull, face painting, petting zoo, activities for the kids. And again, it supports our equestrian program, so our adaptive trail riding program, our hippotherapy, as well as the equine assisted learning. So, you know, fun for the whole family to come out and kick off the summer with the NAC.
Okay. Tickets are how much for that?
So adult tickets are $55, youth are $25, kids under 5 are free. There's also a family package for, you know, 2 adults, 3 kids at $150.
Okay. And that, again, includes some food and...
Yeah, there's a fantastic barbecue and, again, all the activities that I mentioned. There will be an auction to help raise funds for the National Ability Center equestrian programs. But it really is just a fun day. A little, you know, High West whiskey and, you know, some beer and wine and obviously lots of, you know, stuff for the kids to do.
Okay. Again, that's Saturday, June 1st.
That's right.
Again, people can get more information about all of that online?
Yes. They can go to our website at discovernac.org.
Okay. Anything else, Carrie, you wanted to mention?
I don't think so. Just appreciate the time and hope the community can come out and join us this year for the Barn Party.
Okay. Carrie Cusimano is the Development Director for the National Ability Center. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
KPCW News Time now, 8:41. It's the local news hour on KPCW. 8:44 now in the studio with an update of what's going on with Basin Recreation. I have District Director Brian Hatton. Good morning.
Good morning.
You were on last week talking about the community recreation survey. Closures, though, happening soon?
Yes. Yeah, it'll close on the 22nd at midnight. So if people want to get their voices heard, we'd love to have them go online, go to our website, basinrecreation.org. And I know Park City Recreation also has it on their website. So if they want to go through that the survey, and we'd love to hear from everybody. The first 2 days it was on, we had about 300 people per day. So that's a great response from the community, but hopefully we can continue to get some more people to voice their interests and in what they want to see.
Okay, and then with the first group that I think you were hoping to get about 400. Did you get that?
We were close. We were like 392. Oh. So we almost got there, but we hope to have some results this week. We were hoping on Friday, but they had some issues that they ran into, our consultants did. So hopefully this week we'll be able to see those results. And then when on the 22nd, after that closes, we'll be able to compare and see how that looks as far as the closed people that were able to talk about it and then the open public. So they project usually it's a similar response, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. Where will the results be released? I mean, at a board meeting, or are you going to come back on and give us a rundown?
Yeah, we can definitely come back on. Okay. We'll let people know for sure what the results came back with and what we'd be looking to go, what direction for future projects and programs.
Okay. Splash Pad opening this Friday, and I guess it's going to be a...
Hopefully it's not an 50s. Ice pad and a splash pad. we're opening, like, our summer operations are starting to kick off, and usually Memorial Day is when we open up our splash pad. So, and that's a free thing for anybody in the community. It's open from 11 a.m. until 7. So we try to wait for it to get a little bit warmer. And it is heated water, even though some people don't think so. But we do recycle the water and we heat it up. But later in the day, it doesn't quite seem that way. But Saturday we'll have that opened, or the 24th, Friday, we'll have that opened. And people can come out and play with that. The pool, on our website, we have the specific hours. Different days, they're different hours. So Monday and Wednesday are different from Tuesday and Thursday. And once school gets out, we'll have it open more. But we're just waiting for the lifeguards to get out of school, and so we can have a little bit more time with those guards on the deck, and it'll be open longer periods of time.
Okay, this is just the lap pool though, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I mean, we offer some swim lessons, and we'll have some classes in there as well. But mainly it's just the lap pool.
Okay. And then also coming up, lots going on June 1st, National Trails Day. Tell me about this, what you got planned.
Yeah, with National Trails Day, it'll be on June 1st at 8:30. Come out to Trailside Park, and we're going to do some work around the park. There's a fence going to be put up. We're working on a new learn to ride loop in the bike park. So we're a bunch of different, well, there are a couple different projects that we would love volunteers to come and help with and kind of get to meet our crews too. I mean, it's a good opportunity to see the people that are out doing the work all summer and work alongside them and put some sweat equity into what we have going on out there.
Okay. So there is no fence now around the park?
There's fence in certain areas. What we're looking to do is kind of extend the fence by the bike park. People have been riding down from the bike park through the native onto the skate park or onto the basketball court, and we're having some damage done to those amenities. So we're looking to kind of block that off and make people, if they're going to get there, they're going to have to take a different route to get there. So.
Okay. What about disc golf? When does that kind of kick off?
Disc golf, it's open all the time, so people are welcome to come out and throw the disc around. We have 9 holes up there at Trailside. We do have an event. Unfortunately, I don't have that in front of me as far as when that event will be. But with National Trails Day, that kind of kicks off our summer events, and you can go online and see our list of events. There's quite extensive. Our rec team is put together a pretty fun summer for everybody, and most of these events are free. So if you're looking for something to do, go to our website, basinrecreation.org, and find some fun things to do.
Okay. And where are we with the planning for the park there in the Silver Creek Village?
Good question. We're using the survey. That's the stage one of the planning for that park, just to see what people are looking for. And our next, we're going to do a facilities demand study with Zions Bank that kind of compares us with other similar communities to making sure that we have adequate facilities for our population. So number of tennis courts for the population that we have. Are we there? Are we exceeding? Are we deficient? Playing fields, those types of things. So the Zions Bank will look through that and try to establish our future as far as where we're deficient in different areas of recreation or facilities. And then from there, we'll review our strategic action plan with hopes that we'll be able to start laying out that park. We're pretty excited about it. I know we've had it a while and we want to get going. And I know the building, the housing development is going to start happening over there this summer. So we're hoping that we can get in shortly after and at least have the plan by the end of this year, beginning of next year, and then getting started. A lot of it depends financially. If it requires a bond, where we look with that, and just knowing, seeing if we can knock off some of the low-hanging fruit, maybe putting some playing fields and playgrounds and those types of things before we do the big money items.
Yeah, so how big is it?
100 acres.
Yeah, wow. And is that what we're going to call it, Silver Creek Village Park, or do we have a better name for it?
We haven't come up with a name yet. I know that's not too sexy of a park name, so we'll see what we can come up with. We might involve the community a little bit, and right now that's what the development is called, so we've just kind of stuck with that. But, I mean, the Coleman parcel was also where Matt Canoe Park is, so we've changed that before. So we'll see, I mean, as we move along in the process, we'll see if we want to engage in how we want to name that parcel.
And so you did mention like tennis courts and stuff. What I didn't have, and have you seen any of the results? I mean, have you seen some demand for pickleball?
We haven't seen the results yet, but I'm gonna guess that we're gonna see some pickleball influence on that survey. We know that pickleball population is very passionate. They've been in the field house and at the mark all winter and excited to get outside. We put the nets up early in our parks, so they've been out and playing. So hopefully we can get some good feedback from the survey and kind of direct our future as we go. We're looking at maybe doing some modifications in Willow Creek Park and looking at tennis courts and pickleball courts and see how that lays out to best fit the demand. But we're still in the planning process of that.
I haven't played, so I don't know. Is it a typical tennis court, or they're just using the tennis courts? I mean, is that the playing field, the same?
It's a little smaller than a tennis court. I call it a mixture between ping pong, badminton, and tennis. So a little bit smaller. You don't have as far left and right to run. You use a paddle and a wiffle ball instead. So it's different in that aspect as far as comparing it to tennis. But a lot of tennis players have transitioned over to pickleball.
So are you just using the single tennis court, or it's even smaller than that?
It's even smaller than that, yeah. It's probably, if you look at the service lines, I mean, it's, I can't give you a definite size, but I would say about 3/4 of a tennis court.
Okay. Finally, just wanted to ask you, I mean, the last bond we held, I think it was, what, 2014?
Right.
Yeah. So what have we got left over from that, and how will that be spent?
We are, our open space currently, we're about, I want to say it's 13 million. We're in the process of working with the Gilmore parcel. And if that goes through, that'll definitely take it down a little bit. That'll leave us an open space about 3.5. We've been working with the BOSAC Basin Open Space Committee and just trying to recognize any other potential open space opportunities to preserve. So with 3.5, that it might be tough to get something, but we hope that we can figure out that. There is still some money for, we had set aside, it's a recreational fund, so $2.5 million that have kind of been earmarked for the ice rink, but we've been working with the city and that Black Rock development with hopes that they do something that we can collaborate with and save the community some dollars and not have to build a $25 million additional sheet of ice. So there's lots of things up in the air. So that money is there, and we're just hoping that we can find a use that we can use it for it soon.
Yeah, so that 3.5, that can only be used then for open space, or was that trails as well?
That's recreational open space. So we can put trails on the recreational open space. There has to be some type of a recreational component to it. So that's where, like, if a lot of our open space are our trails that we're sending through, if it's a connection to other systems or just helping alleviate some of the pressures in different areas where there are lots of trail users.
But the money couldn't be used at the Silver Creek Park because you had mentioned perhaps a bond there.
Correct. Yeah, it can't be used for facilities or park space.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
Just the biggest thing is we know we want to get out on the trails. If they're wet, please try to avoid those areas. Our trails team's working hard to get those open, but Mother Nature has other plans right now. So just be patient and try to find those dry trails out there.
Okay. Brian, thanks.
Thank you.
Brian Hanton is the director of Basin Recreation. You're listening.